Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Please take your Bibles and turn to Colossians. Thank you, ladies, for that testimony and song. Colossians, chapter number 3. Had a few weeks break from Colossians as we have examined some other subjects and had several missionaries here. And trust now that we can get back to Colossians and some great truths here in this book that we have so enjoyed in the last year as we have examined through it. Let's talk to the kids for a minute. If Jesus Christ came up to you and asked you to do one thing for Him, would you do it? I mean, imagine what that would be like if Jesus Christ came up to you and asked you to do something special for Him. Told you that it was really important, something that was something He really desired, something that would tell other people that you're a Christian, just one thing that would really please Him, that would really make Him very, very happy. Would you be excited to do it if Jesus Christ asked you to do it that way? Or how about this question for the young people? What could you do as a child to bring the best possible relationship between you and your parents? If you could boil it down to one thing that would really guide and direct your relationship and just make it, a lot smoother in your life, a lot better. If you would really make significant changes in your relationship with your parents, one thing, what would that one thing be that you ought to be doing? We're going to find the answer in our passage here. And I want to tell you that Jesus Christ has given you one sure command that is not only going to please Him very much, but is going to be the key to you having a great relationship with your parents. Such a very important truth that is brought out here in this passage. Now, we understand that it is possible for a boy or a girl to come to the place where they realize they're a sinner and they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they have then trusted Christ for their salvation. It is possible for a child to become a Christian, to become a follower of Jesus Christ, to be saved on their way to heaven and having a relationship with God. It is possible for them to have this entirely new life in Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ has moved in. They're a new creature in Jesus Christ. They have a new relationship with people around them in the church. It's a new humanity, as it were. They have a new pattern to follow. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's possible for kids to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And when Jesus Christ as Savior comes into their life, like the wife, verse 18, like the husband, verse 20, or verse 19, so the child in verse 20, one thing especially ought to change. Now, we understand as parents that we don't wait to teach this until they know Christ as Savior. But one of the things that ought to change once they do know Christ as Savior is this thing brought out in this passage. It's so very important. And the exciting thing is that God gives to children just as He has given to the wives, just as He's given to the husbands, one main thing to work on. I like that. I forget, if I have too many things going on, I have to keep a to-do list and all of that. It's so nice that God gives me especially one thing to work on. And kids, God keeps it so very, very simple. He gives you one thing to remember, one thing to focus on that's going to make a difference in your life, that's going to help you to function smoothly with your parents, that is going to be the chief thing that ought to change in your life when you are a Christian, and it's something that's going to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the text here, Colossians 3 and verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And what I want you to see, young people and even adults here this morning, is that children must please the Lord by obeying their parents. Father, we do thank You so much for the truth of the Word that You have brought out here. And Spirit of God, we pray that You would do the work that You desire us to do. You've given us the keys to see our families working properly and to see a life that is changed that might be a testimony to the unsaved world around us, that they might see the difference in the lives of children and want to know Christ as a result of it, wanting Christ for their families as well. And so, Father, we pray that this church and the homes that are here would be different because of the study here today. In Jesus' name, amen. In order to grasp the powerful truth that is brought out in this single verse, we're going to break this verse down into two parts, just as it is broken down into two parts in the text. The first part will be, children, obey your parents in all things. The second part is, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The first part of the verse is going to say this, that obedience is a requirement. Can you write that word down? Children, obedience is a requirement. Now that's a big word. It simply means this. It's not optional. It is something that you are expected to do. It is something that is key. It is crucial. It is required of you. You are to obey your parents. Now to understand how important this requirement is, there are four words in this verse I want to draw your attention to. I'm sure you can guess what those words are. Try not to get too far ahead of me here. The first one is this. It's the word children. And you know what? This is kind of exciting. This is the great and famous Apostle Paul. I mean, the guy that went around the world planting churches. This is the Pharisee of the Pharisees. This is, you know, Paul. And Paul, this morning, has a word for the kids. Paul has something to say to the kids. He doesn't neglect the children. He has something special for them. He is talking to them. And Paul, listen, Paul is an apostle. And with him being an apostle comes some authority. When Paul speaks here, when he says something here, he is saying this with authority. It matters that you listen. It matters that you pay attention to what he has to say, because he has some authority. He is not just Paul. He is the apostle Paul. And this rule holds. It sticks. It matters. But not only that, but as he is writing here, he's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God and guided and directed. This is what God wants Paul to say. And you know what that tells me? Not only is it exciting that Paul is speaking to kids, but it's exciting that God is speaking to kids. God has something for children. God is talking to children. He expects them to listen this morning and to pay attention to what he is saying. God is talking to them. He has an instruction, and this instruction has some authority. There's the authority of Paul. There's the authority of God. And God has directed Paul to write it down in this book. And this book is our authority. Listen, I need to stop and remind us about that this morning. This book is our authority for life. Amen. Now, we live in a day and time in which people, you know, don't necessarily mind if you have a Bible. But when you start living by the Bible, they mind that a little bit. They mind it a little bit when you start saying, this book's going to guide and direct my life. And there's a great deal of people out in our culture today that are bothered by Christians. But listen, we have a problem with this in our churches as well. We read the book. We know what it says. We're educated all the time. We are hearers of the word, but we are not doers as we ought to be. We don't live by the fact that this book says something, and so therefore I'm going to obey what this book says. It's optional to us. Yeah, great. That's a great idea. The church says it. I mean, the church preaches what the word of God has to say. But you know what? It just doesn't fit for me. You know, it just doesn't fit for my life. I just don't feel like I need to obey it. I just don't feel like I have to make those changes. And we feel like somehow we can just do what we want to. And we have escaped this. Listen, I'm not talking about our culture. They have their problems. I'm talking about we as Christians. That we can read the book and say, that's what it means. But I'm going to do what I want to do in my own life. And this morning, God's starting out and He's saying, I'm talking to the children. My apostle's talking to the children. My authoritative word is talking to the children. God's got a message, and it is up to us to obey. Wherever we are in life, this is authoritative. And mark it down in our lives, if we do not obey what the word of God has to say, there's going to be a day of reckoning coming. And I mark it down also, that day of reckoning is going to be in this life and in the next. There's going to be some serious consequences that we're going to pay now. And what will it be like to stand before Him someday? I want to remind you this morning that this is our authority. And so God speaks. He says, children. He's talked about the category of wives. He's talked about the category of husbands. And now He's talking to anybody that is in the category of children. The word children refers especially to people who are offspring of others. It doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl, a male or a female. Children refers to both of them. And in a sense, then, it refers to every single one of us in our lives. At one point in time, we are all children. We are all the descendants of another person, descendants of our parents. And the word children brings out this relationship. And other times we understand that the age of the person is being referred to here. Children. We understand that this passage of Scripture talking about children obeying your parents would be a little bit different. It would take on a little different shape once you're married. All right, things change. We understand that it would take on a little different shape once the child leaves the home. They would be a little different. The parallel passage that we read this morning talks about children obeying their parents in Ephesians 6 and verse 1. And it goes on to talk to fathers, and it says, fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, the ones that he's challenging to obey, the children, are the ones that are being brought up. He's referring to children in the age of being brought up. It's a little different when you're of that age than you are when you're an adult. Things are different there. Paul's talking about the household. And so the specific children that he'd be referring to are the children that are in the household, the children that are at the home, the children that are living under the parents' roof, under their authority and under their guidance. And to these ones, to this class of people, he is saying children. And I want you to understand, children, God has something authoritative to say to you. Anyone who is considered in that category, whom your parents are still bringing up, whom you're still under their authority and under the guidance. Listen, this message this morning isn't just for children. This message is for we as parents as well. And it's for us. Because we need to understand what the Word of God says so that we can go home and instill these values into our children and expect this of them. What a shame it would be for God to expect this of our children and us as parents not to come out and expect this of them. And therefore, we are hurting their relationship with God because we didn't tell them to do what God expected them to do. We did not expect them to do what God expected them to do. This message is for parents. This message is for those people who work with children, who would teach children, who would provide instruction for them, that would instruct them, listen, you need to obey your parents. You need to be obeying other authorities. This at times would be for grandparents who would be seeking to help their grandchildren and would even be seeking to help their own children bring up their grandchildren properly, offering advice as the opportunity presents itself. So really, when you examine this passage applies really to pretty much all of us in the room here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. He's talking about here in this passage in Ephesians chapter 6. So the first word we see is the word children. The second word we see is the word obey. Children, obey. I would tell you a couple things about this word obey. First of all, it is a command. It's not optional. You don't find any exceptions to this command that are listed in this verse. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm busy or if you're not busy. It doesn't matter if you like the command or don't like the command. It doesn't matter if the command makes sense to you or doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't matter if your brother or sister has to do the same thing or if they get by without it. It doesn't matter here. It doesn't matter if your parents are jerks. It doesn't matter if your parents are perfect or not. You are simply expected to obey. And there is incredible joy and freedom and blessing in obeying. For 9 years, I had the privilege of being a youth pastor and an assistant pastor in Pennsylvania. And being a youth and assistant pastor means that there is a senior pastor who is your boss, to bring home the expression. We had a great relationship and a wonderful relationship. But you know, there would be times in which I would be in my office studying and working and preparing things and doing different things. And I'd get a phone call on my cell phone because we were at far opposite ends of the building and just where our offices happened to be. I'd get a call and he'd say, Nathan, I need you to come to my office. Hey, Nathan, would you come help me with this? Nathan, we're going to go run some errands. And you know, I could sit there and I could say, run errands? I am studying the Bible. You know, this is so special. I could have all of, you know, I'm planning a youth activity. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And you know, I could sit there and I could be frustrated and I could say, listen, I have my own agenda. I have my own schedule. But you know what I learned? There was incredible freedom in just saying, yes, sir, I'll come. And you know what? He, in a sense, was going to be answerable to God with what I then did for the next little bit. I was answerable. I simply obeyed. And you know what? It was just such joy and happiness. I could leave it with God. God, I'm supposed to obey Him. He's my boss at work, if I can say it that way. He's my master. He's the pastor here. I'm supposed to obey. I'm simply going to obey. That's what I'm going to do.
And listen, kids, if you can get that in your mind, there will be incredible joy and happiness. This is a command. It's not optional. But I would tell you this. The word obey is continual. It's a present tense word. In other words, you obey. It's not you will obey. It's not you did obey, but it's obey. And it's the idea that you're supposed to obey over and over and over. You're supposed to obey all the time. It's a continuous state. It is the custom of your life, the habit of your life. It's the regular way you live your life. It's not a one-time deal. It's not that you only obey when you get your way or when your parents offer you a special treat for obeying. It's not that you obey just when you are hoping to get that special Christmas present, or when you feel like it, or when you understand, or when you're up in the morning and you've had a pretty good day so far so you feel like obeying. You're only required to obey on the days that end with Y. Obey all the time. It's a continual thing. It's a command. It's continual. And I want you to notice its meaning as well. The word obey is an interesting word. It begins, the very meaning of the actual word itself in the language that Paul would have written, begins with the idea of hearing. Begins with the idea of listening, paying attention, giving ear to something, making an answer. It was used there, remember when Peter was in prison and they were going to kill him the next day and execute him there? And the church was praying there at the one house. And Peter escapes, God helps him to miraculously escape. And he goes and he knocks on the door and the girl Rhoda comes to answer the door. She obeys the door. Same words used there. She's listening there and she goes to answer the door. That's the idea. How many times do we start with our children? Are you listening to me? Did you hear what I said? Do you ever listen? Now listen to me. That's where obedience begins. It begins by listening. One of the dear families in our church that moved away in the last year said this, you need to turn your ears up. There are times when you need to turn your ears up. Pay attention. Be listening. As I challenged our kids in chapel this past week, you need to listen with your ears, you need to listen with your eyes, and you need to listen with your heart. Pay attention, look at the person when they're talking to you. And parents, let's be good examples of this. I've been in different situations in life in which I've been in a service or a teaching session or something like that, and here I'm trying to listen to the person, and here's a group of adults carrying on a conversation in the middle of the service. Laughing and telling a joke. I can't even hear. Or if I'm teaching, I can't even concentrate because I can hear their joke. Let us be attentive. Let us be listening. This is where obedience starts. It starts with listening, and it continues all the way from listening then to following what you hear said to you. It's following that instruction. It is obeying, the classic definition of obedience. Doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, with the right heart attitude. You listen and you hear what is said to you and you follow through and you obey it. That's obedience. Some of the opposites, sometimes looking at the opposites are really helpful. Some of the opposites of obedience are delay. Waiting and waiting until your parents remind you or until you hear them coming up the steps. Then you get after it. Waiting until they raise their voice. Obedience is not disobedience. It's not rebelling. It's not questioning them. It's not doing what you're supposed to do, but doing it the wrong way. It's not obeying on the outside, but pouting on the inside or pouting on the outside. It's not doing what you want to do. Obedience is doing what you're told to do when you're told to do it with the right heart attitude. And you're supposed to obey simply because God says so. You're supposed to hear and just obey. We as parents know our children need to obey, but how oftentimes do we slip into some other ways of trying to get our children to obey? And we've got to simply understand that God expects them to obey. And we begin to use different ways of manipulating them or bribing them, trying to bribery one person defined it as feeding one sin nature in an attempt to control another one. Please obey. If you obey, I'll give you this. No, they need to obey because it is right. Manipulating the emotions. How often have you been at Walmart and here is this family that is ready to leave the toy aisle and mom looks over at little Junior and says, okay, Junior, we need to go. And she begins to walk away and Junior doesn't leave his little toys there. And she says, fine, I'm going to leave you at Walmart. And she goes around the corner. Now, what's she doing? Manipulating his emotions? Don't leave me. Did he really obey? Did he really have a heart of obedience there?
Let us be careful about manipulation or withholding love or tricking the child or playing on the child's pride or anger. We need to train our child. I was challenged by this. Even this week, being reminded, yes, we expect them to obey, but what are we using to try to get them to obey? They need to obey because it's right here. And listen, the right of a parent to expect obedience is not something new. This isn't a, wow, this is a new idea. It's not even an old-fashioned idea. This is a God idea. And the right of the parent to expect the obedience of the child comes from God Himself. And if we as parents are not expecting our children to obey, then we are actually discouraging them from obeying God's laws. Our authority comes from God. We need to expect them to obey. Children, obey. Now you as a child might look at the situation and say, this obeying is pretty hard work. I just wish I were a tree. Maybe I wish I were a wave of the ocean. I could just kind of float in and flow out and do whatever I want. But let me remind you that even the winds and the sea obey Him. You might wish that you could be rebellious and do whatever you want, but let me just remind you that even the demons must obey His commands. You might wish that you could live the rest of your life doing your own thing, and yet just understand that Romans chapter 6 tells us that you're going to obey sin and lust, or you're going to obey righteousness. But you will be obeying something. It's just a matter of what you are obeying. And obedience in the Christian life is the very essence of the Christian life. Obedience is how the Christian life really begins. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7 talks about obeying the faith. We read also in the scriptures that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. He's giving the command, therefore becoming a Christian is obedience to that. Romans 10 and verse number 16 talks about obeying the gospel. Hebrews 11 and verse number 8 talks about obedience in connection to faith. Listen, that is the connection in life that we must understand. You are called to obey.
I wonder if it would be possible for a parent to set their child up to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior by not asking their child to obey. You see, when you ask your child to obey simply because it's right, without them understanding every single thing, yes, there's times of explanation, we understand that, but largely obedience is a matter of faith. Dad said it, mom said it, I may not understand it, I may not like it, but I'm going to do it. You are teaching your child obedience and you are teaching your child faith. So then as they get older, when God says, I've commanded all men everywhere to repent, they obey it because you have taught them obedience, which goes hand in hand with faith. How many other people, as their kids would grow up, who do not understand this matter of obedience and faith? Well, I wonder then if they would struggle all the more with obeying the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 8, God will take vengeance with flaming fire on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life is characterized by obedience because it all starts with obeying Jesus Christ in this matter of salvation. And let me just ask you this morning, if there's been that time in your life when you have obeyed Jesus Christ in trusting Him. God has given you the command. He has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Have you obeyed the command? God's not going to twist your arm there. He's going to give you the choice. You can make the choice of whether you're going to obey or not obey, but you do not get the choice of the consequences. And let me just tell you that the consequences are far worse. The consequences last for eternity. The consequences are terrible consequences if you choose to disobey God in this matter. If you're going to obey God, you're going to have to change the way you think. That's called repentance. He has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You're going to have to change the way you're thinking. And I'm not trying to be unkind because I say it about myself. You're going to have to change the way you're thinking, realizing that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We've all done things that are wrong. Our society in today's culture doesn't like that, but it's true. It's the truth. It's like going to a doctor and him saying, you're sick. And God says to you, you're a sinner. You've done those things which are wrong. God is your creator and He's set the rules and you are expected to obey those rules perfectly. But you haven't done that. In your heart, you know you haven't done it. You haven't obeyed every single time. And God says sin is so serious in His sight that it has the death penalty. It causes somebody to have to die. You need to change your thinking and understand that Jesus Christ died for you. God loved you so much that He required death, yet He provided death through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that if you will simply repent of your sin and turn from your sin and put your full faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be obeying that command. You'll be putting your faith in Him, and He promised, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He promised. It's the very first step. It is obedience to the authoritative Word of God, to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to your Creator. Have you obeyed? Whether you're a child or whether you're an adult. Children sometimes struggle obeying their parents. They may think, you know, if I could just be an adult, I wouldn't have to obey anymore. Yet look at verse number 18, wives. Submit yourselves unto your own husband. Girls, you can think, man, if I get out on my own, yet God gives them a command. Guys, you can think, if I just get out on my own, get married. Verse 19, God gives them a command that they must obey, husbands. Down in verse number 22, He talks about servants. Those of us that are dads that work for other people, we have masters that we are expected to obey. Bosses, employers, authorities, we are expected to obey them. Listen, kids, don't expect that someday if you could just grow up and go to work and live on your own, that you could just do your own thing. Even if you owned your own company, you're expected in chapter 4, verse 1, masters, give your servants that which is just and equal. God gives them a command. Even if you own your own house, and you're not under a landlord, you still have to obey the zoning board, the city ordinances, the homeowners association, and all those other things. You are never going to get out of obedience. So just get your heart right with God and obey in these areas. The problem in our lives is not that we need a definition. What does it mean to obey? We know what it means to obey. The problem is, we need to do it. Amen. Obey. Number 3, your parents. Children, obey your parents. Now, the word parents especially brings to mind this truth, that kids come from parents. It's an idea that parents are the producers of these kids. The parents are the originators of these kids. The parents gave these kids life. And listen, your parents have brought you into this world. And they can take you out, right? Isn't that the expression, all right? Your parents have brought you into this world. They have given you life. They have made sacrifices for you. It is their responsibility to care for you. And therefore, you are expected to obey. And I would have you notice, it is obey your parents. You say, well, I just don't like Dad that much. But I obey Mom. You may feel like you can walk all over Mom, but you wouldn't dare disobey Dad. No, it's children, obey your parents, plural, both of them. Another expression that He uses in the verse, children, obey your parents, number 4, in all things. In respect to everything, at every point in it, the same requirement is going to be made of servants in verse 22. Servants, obey in all things, every single little thing. It's the little things, it's the big things. It's the things that you don't get to pick, you don't get to pick and choose in your life. It's not what you want to do or what you don't want to do. It's not the things that you can figure out versus the things you can't figure out. It's all. Children, obey your parents in all things. And listen, there are lots of people that are going to stop at this point and they're going to be all focused and they're all going to be all concerned about, yeah, but what if the parent asked the child to do something terrible, wicked? Now look, that may happen. We understand here that it would be important that a person does what's right. But I would estimate that is by far the minority. That is by far the exception and not the rule. How often have your parents asked you to lie, cheat, steal, be immoral, drink, and so forth? Seriously objectionable things. And so many times when it comes to this verse, obey in all things. Yeah, but what? And we get so focused on this tiny, tiny, tiny exception that maybe happened once in your entire life. And we miss all the other 25 things our parents ask us to do in a single day. Don't get so focused on that we miss all the other things that we're supposed to be obeying. Many times people lay great burden on the parents.
to expect the parents to always deal perfectly and always deal fairly with the child, always give the right command to the child. And yet God's instruction is not obey your parents when your parents said it exactly perfectly and when they did everything just fairly and when they did everything just right. And you as a child, you have the ability to analyze the situation, and you as a child have the ability to decide, now did mom give that command rightly? Was this really right? Was this really true? No, God comes in and he says, listen, just obey. And you can say, God, I obeyed. And yes, it may have been imperfect, but I obeyed. The children who obeys a command that maybe was a little bit off is going to still be able to bask and enjoy the blessing of God upon their life because they simply did what is right. There's going to be a freedom in their life and a happiness in their life that's going to be far different than when a child is sitting back there and saying, you know what? I don't think that was fair. I don't think you said that quite right. I just don't think this makes sense to me. No, it's obey in all things. The child is not responsible for weighing and evaluating the parents' decisions. He's just responsible for obeying the parents' decisions. He must simply obey. There was a family that had 8 children, and these kids truly loved ice cream. It was a hot summer day, and so as they were just sweating outside, one of the girls said, you know what would be awesome? For a whole day, just to have ice cream. This would be great. All the other kids, the other 7 siblings said, oh yeah, this would be great. Let's have ice cream for a whole day. Dad was standing by, and he was listening, and he said, you know what? We'll do that. Their jaws just hit the floor. They were so surprised. What? He said, tomorrow will be ice cream day. All day long, you just eat ice cream. It'll be a great thing. Boy, they were excited. The next morning, they came down the steps, and there were shouts and hollers of, I want vanilla, and I want strawberry, and I want chocolate. And they got big soup bowls out, and Mom dished them up soup bowls, and they had a breakfast of delicious, sweet ice cream in whatever flavor they wanted. Mid-morning snack came. They came in from the hot summer day. They had ice cream. Lunchtime came along, and they got out maybe a little smaller lunch portions there, but they had ice cream once again. Afternoon rolled around, they came in for their afternoon snack, and as they walked into the kitchen, Mom was just taking from the oven a batch of hot and fresh muffins out. One of the kids said, oh, Mom, that smells good. Went over to the cupboard and got a thing of jam out. Mom said, whoa, 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 whoa. Today is ice cream day. You only get ice cream today. Oh, all right. So they went over there and had their bowl of ice cream. Finally, supper time rolled around, and as the kids all sat down to their table, to their fresh bowl of ice cream, the girl whose great, ingenious idea this had been said, Dad, this is great, but couldn't we just trade this ice cream for a little crust of bread or something? Dad said, no, this is ice cream day. You guys chose ice cream. And the harmless, simple truth that he was driving home is this, that many times children think that they've got it all figured out and they understand everything about it here, and therefore they ought to make the rules in life. They're not called upon to do this. That is the parents' responsibility. Their responsibility is simply to obey. And they will find that they have so much greater happiness, so much greater freedom in their life if they will simply obey. Obedience is a requirement. And briefly, let's look at the second point. Obedience is for a reason. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, I would have you note that God knows exactly who he's talking to here. He's talking to children. And what is the most famous question that a child will ask? Why? And so God knows that kids are going to ask this question. Children, obey your parents in all things. Why? So he just goes ahead and answers the question. The word for means because. Here's the answer to your question, kids, as to why you should obey. For or because. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. He gives the reason. It's not because your parents are always right. It's not because you're just a kid and you don't know anything. That's not the reason. It's not because your parents can just push you around all the time. It's not because God's trying to make your life miserable. It's because obedience is well-pleasing to your master, to your Lord. He says, for this, talking about this obedience, where you listen to your parents and follow through on their instructions. This is.
I like that word is. That word is means it's true all the time. God's not going to change His plans. You know, it'd be a really bum deal if when I was a kid, God's requirement was obedience. But by the time my kids grew up, God changed His requirements and says, you know what? You don't have to obey. It's the same thing. You know, we pick on my little sister. She's 6 years younger than me. You know, when I went to school, and we went to school every day, and we packed our lunch, you know, we got the bologna and cheese sandwich almost every day, it seemed. By the time she got around to it, she got the pizza pockets and you know, all the special things for lunch. We say, look, Mom and Dad changed. Man, they were tough. No, you got peanut butter and jelly or ham and cheese. That's what you get. Maybe some leftovers. You know, but she's a kid. They go out and buy the Lunchables and all this other stuff. I always say, Mom and Dad changed down through the years. Joking, of course. But you know, God doesn't change. This is. It's just as true today as it was when your parents were a kid. This is the requirement. For this is well-pleasing. The word well-pleasing means it's acceptable. Even popular might be a decent definition. Back in Paul's day, this word was used of people that they were very generous in their civic duties. They did things that were pleasing unto other people. In the inscriptions that people can go back and dig up and read these inscriptions there on the stones and stuff, it was used, this idea of well-pleasing, to describe things that were proper. Carefully said, I might almost use the idea of politically correct, except here it's God correct. It's the idea of what is correct in God's sight. That's how it's used in the Bible. It's used in Philippians 4:18. We looked at this a couple weeks ago. When you give to meet the needs of missions, Paul says that's well-pleasing unto the Lord. Colossians 1 and verse number 10, back at the beginning of this book, he says that we're to be fruitful unto the Lord, unto all pleasing. We're supposed to be pleasing the Lord. And so kids, if you want to know what your responsibility is to please the Lord, it's simply obey. Kids, you probably can't get up next Sunday and preach a message in church. You can't get behind the steering wheel and go pick up a bunch of people for church. You may not be able to get there in the kitchen and make a whole big meal and then say, hey, I'm going to invite our neighbors to come over and eat this big meal and go to church with us next Sunday. And you may feel like as kids that there's just not a whole lot you can do to serve the Lord. But let me tell you, there's one thing that you can do as a child to serve the Lord. It will please Him, and that is this. Just obey. Just obey your parents. And the implication is it comes with a great reward. This takes us back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Which is brought back there from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter number 20. Well-pleasing to the Lord brings out the fact of God's great blessing upon your life. Jesus Christ was baptized. And the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You want to be pleasing to the Lord. You want God's blessing upon your life. How many times does a child come up to mom and dad and say, Dad, Mom, look at this coloring job I did. Isn't this beautiful? What do they want from their parents? That's great. Boy, son, I'm proud of you. Honey, that is great. Good job coloring there. They want to please their parents. Kids, do you want to please the Lord? If you want to please the Lord, bring to Him a paper that's got obedience written all over it. A life that is obeying. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The word Lord means that He is your master. You're in His kingdom. You're serving Him with your life. Therefore, you should be obeying your parents. Obey Him. Listen, kids, you can think and hope that you're right with God. But if you're not obeying your parents, you're not right with God. If you're not obeying, you're not pleasing the Lord. Don't expect to know the will of God in your life. Don't expect to have the blessing of God upon your life. Don't expect to enjoy a right relationship with Him if you're not obeying. A child's relationship to Jesus thrives in the direct relation to his obedience that he gives to his parents. So an obedient child is a happy child. Obey your parents, whether you like it or not, and you'll be well-pleasing unto the Lord. In conclusion, just a couple verses. Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and mother,
Proverbs 30:17 graphically says it this way: "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." One of the signs of the end times, 2 Timothy 3:2, is that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Paul says it as well in Romans 1 and verse 30, that they're backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to their parents. One of the building blocks of a good and organized society is people who obey the laws of the society. And the problem that we have in our society today is because we have homes where moms and dads have not expected their children to obey, and therefore they go out into the world thinking they can do their own thing, and society is in an uproar because of it. And it comes back to children obeying their parents. It comes back to kids who realize that they're Christians, and the one great thing that God has laid upon them is this: that they obey. It is an awesome thing for kids to consider that I can please God simply by obeying and taking out the trash, doing what I'm told to do, when I'm told to do it, with the right heart attitude. Are you obeying?
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.